Please be seated. I left out a very important announcement, and for that I sincerely apologize, and I realize I also left it out this morning. But please do not take my forgetfulness as not thinking of its importance. Yesterday, our country celebrated Veterans Day, and I know that we have veterans here with us now. And if you served in our armed services, would you please stand so that we can recognize you? Thank you so much for your service. And thank you to your families for their sacrifice as well. We do truly appreciate it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's not what I usually say, but we'll go with it anyway. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love, God, communion, Holy Spirit be with you all. And also, let us pray. Thank you, God, for this time where we can gather together to hear your word proclaimed, to rejoice, and to share the good news. May your spirit come into our hearts and send us out into your world. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was going to stand up here this morning and proclaim myself an expert in a particular area. But then I was doing a little research to find out what exactly are the criteria for being an expert. Knowledge, skill, and accolades. So, I have knowledge, no problem. I know about time management, very much. I mean, you laugh, you know time management, and I, but have you ever taken classes? Who here has taken a class on time management? I've taken many classes on time management. Books? Read books on time management? Anyone? A handful of you, yeah. Those of you who aren't in HR, anybody else? Right. So I have a vast knowledge of this. Skills? Zero. None. I do not have time management skills. Or accolades. Achievements. No. Zero. No. You don't. If you have no skills, you get no accolades for good time management. But I know more than your average bear when it comes to time management. So I claim to be a time management guru. I know all the life hacks that there are about time management. If you want to learn about it, I can teach you. They say those who can't do, teach. I think that's offensive to teachers. We all learned that in 2020 that teachers actually have a very difficult job. And I can assure you that my wife, who's a teacher, can read and do elementary school math better than anybody. But when it comes to time management, I can't do, but I can teach. But I am an expert in one area of that. I am an expert procrastinator. Yes, I have the knowledge, because what you take all the things that I've learned about time management and don't do them. Done. Skill? Oh, I'm skilled. Do you know when I write my sermons? Sunday mornings. Yes, that's right. My father, who does not have an expertise in procrastination, he always wrote his, they were done by Thursday. And if they were not done by Thursday, he was on edge. And so after he retired, he would come see me. He goes, "So, son, what are you preaching about tomorrow?" And I'd be like, "Well, I'll be able to tell you tomorrow." Now, granted, I work on it all week, but it would stress him out so much that I would wait until the last minute. And accolades? Yeah, I've got those too. When I was in the eighth grade, we were assigned to memorize A Road Less Taken by Robert Frost. You know that poem? Two roads diverge in yellow wood. It's not a short poem. I had to memorize the whole thing. You know when I memorized it? Waiting in class while my classmates were reciting it. Made 100. Still know most of that poem. And then in college, I had a project. A two-semester project. I did it in one night and got an A. That, my friends, is impressive. Expert in procrastination. Now, I know that some of you are not impressed by this, and clearly Jesus wasn't either. Because we hear today's gospel reading, and I gotta be honest, I'm a little bit offended. A little bit offended. Because he talks about these 10 bridesmaids. 10 are wise and 10 are foolish. And guess which 5 were foolish? The procrastinators. But I gotta tell you, I'm not sure that their foolishness had anything to do with procrastination, but on with the story. See, they were having a wedding party. And let me tell you, the wedding parties in Jesus' day made anything that we have, it puts it to shame. Even the royal weddings, I mean, they're pretty much done in a day. These would last like a week, okay? So there was a ceremony, and then the bride and groom would go from house to house, and people would, like, give them gifts and greet them and things like that, and it would continue into a procession, right? And so you had the bridesmaids, and their job, they had one job, and that was to light the procession as they went into the reception. That was the very end. Now, some of you may remember the days before streetlights. And if you lived in the country before streetlights, you know what pitch black looks like. If you've ever been in the wilderness or in the mountains and with no moon, you know what pitch black looks like. I mean, when you can't see your hand in front of your face, I mean, that's what it was like. Because they didn't have lights back then. And so midnight rolls around and the bridegroom finally shows up. It was dark. There was no light. And see, here's the thing about no light. That's not safe for two reasons. One, you could run into things. And two, unsavory people tend to hang out at night, especially if there's a big party coming. And so the bridesmaids had a job, and it was to provide light to the procession. And in some places, it was illegal to be out at night without light. And so this was a vitally important job. And they were ready for it at first. But then it turns out the bridegroom, he was a talker. You know the type. They're not just going to shake hands and leave. You know, they're going to stay and chat. And so the bridegroom and the bride, they got held up and finally showed up at midnight. And 5 of the bridesmaids were ready. They brought their extra oil. They were good to go. The other 5 weren't. They had run out. And so they said to the first 5, hey, well, can you hook us up? And now, I don't know about you, but as I'm reading this, I'm like, man, they couldn't share? I mean, that would have been nice. But apparently, it wasn't like the reception wasn't next door, and so they would have all run out, and having a lot of light and then no light is not good. And so they're like, no, you need to go to the dealer. Also a part of the story that confuses me, because we're talking like first century. Did they have a Walmart back then that was open 24 hours a day? I mean, it's midnight. Where can they go find oil at midnight? The dealer just hanging out outside the road. Hey, I got some oil for you. No, I don't know how that happened. But so they went out, and when they got back, it was too late. The bridegroom and the procession had already happened, and everybody was in the reception. And when they got there, the bridegroom, they knocked on the door and said, let us in. He said, I don't even know you. So I've been wondering about this. Is it so bad that they procrastinated? I mean, what's so wrong about that? So they weren't great at their time management skills, you know? But it's not really about procrastination. It's not about time management. It's about kindness. Because what these ladies did, in effect, the message that they gave to the bride and bridegroom was this: I don't care about you. I don't care about your safety. I don't care about your party. I don't care about you. I just care about me. And I don't have time to get extra oil. I don't have time to deal with the extra stuff. Because my stuff is more important than your stuff. So I wouldn't say it was 5 wise and 5 foolish. I would say it was 5 kind and 5 jerks. Because that's the thing. What they were not foolish, They were just inconsiderate jerks who couldn't take the time to be ready for the bridegroom. And so when we hear in this to stay awake and to be ready, I think what it says to us, because, you know, some of us are better at time management than others, but at the end of the day, we all have time to be kind, don't we? We all have time to put others before ourselves. Well, we should, although there's something broken in the world today. I mean, I give traffic examples of Lexington all the time because, well, we have a little bit of traffic. I don't know if you're aware. So, driving home the other day, we're on Sunset Boulevard. And right in front of that Publix there, you know what I'm talking about? Where, you know, it curves off and you can go there. You don't have to stop at the stoplight. You can just curve around the Publix. So we're there, but the person to my right was going to curve around, but then realized, you know, maybe they were new to the area, that they were in the wrong lane, so they needed to get over. And so there wasn't room when they decided this for them to get over, so it kind of just like they couldn't go. They had to wait for the light to turn green so that they could pull in. And so here's a lady behind them, waiting. Honk, honk. They weren't going anywhere. They couldn't go anywhere. What's the point? Don't be mean. Just be nice. I mean, we're waiting for the Lord to return. What's Jesus going to return to? A bunch of impatient jerks? Or people who actually care about other folks? I mean, I think it's time for us to wake up and be kind. Wake up and put others before we put ourselves. You know, you want time management? It's all about priorities. Prioritize God. Prioritize others, and then prioritize yourself. God comes first. Make time for the Almighty. Come to church, pray, read the Bible, and in all the amount of time that you have, you can give some to God. And give time to other people. Show them kindness. Show them love. Let them know that they really matter. That they are worth going and filling up your oil for. That you're not going to put them off like you put off taking out the trash. And then prioritize yourself too, because you are also important. But my friends, it's time for us to have enough oil, enough love to ignite the world so that they can see the light of Jesus, the light of that bridegroom. It's time that they see the light of love, the light of Christ going out into the world. And showing not ugliness, not hatred, but love. Be ready for that. Don't put it off. Amen.